You are listening to Grace Life Radio, WPGT 90.1 FM, where we preach grace and truth. And currently you're listening to Synesis Radio, the building blocks of the faith. And with me in studio today is P. Collins, our wonderful elder, one of them. And then we've got John Kodata and Aaron Jenkins. And we are obviously missing our teaching pastor, Brandon Ellickson, who will be back with us on the next episode. This is Matthew Graham, and we are glad that you are with us today. How are you guys doing?
Glad to be here.
Good.
Awake.
Awake?
Awake, yeah. Barely.
Yeah. Like
from the providence of God. You woke up without an alarm, you said earlier.
Absolutely. Turn sound off and...
I don't know that I would do that. I have like 3,000 alarms. Yeah. So...
Well, you also have small kids in the house, so that's like built-in alarm, you know. But if you guys heard in the intro, we are joined by Brother Aaron Jenkins. Aaron, introduce yourself.
Hello, I am Aaron Jenkins. There you go.
Well done. You did exactly what you said.
Now, I'm a member here in Grace Life Church. Started coming 2.5, 3 years ago, Pete. Is that not accurate? And first time really speaking on the radio program. I've sat in like a few shows, Word for America and stuff. But glad to be here, guys. Glad to be able to participate. Glad to be off of work. Amen for summer. If there's anybody teachers out there listening.
Oh, yeah.
So,
you know what? For the rest of us that actually work the whole year, like John and I, you guys are like just taking this 3-month vacation. Come on.
Oh, are we going to have that conversation, Aaron?
No, I'm just going to let that one slide. He gets one today.
He gets one, right.
That's all right.
Because we work during the summer, and during the year we work all those hours in somewhere.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Oh, guys, I'm just picking on you. You know it.
I like the fact that today is a fully bearded table.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All men at the table
with
beards. Yes.
Okay. So, what you're saying about the other guys?
I don't know. They need to get with the program. Grow up.
It might be time to go reformed, Matt.
Oh. Yeah, we could try that, maybe.
Let's grow the beard, man.
All right.
Well, I mean,
he's got enough. That's...
You know. Enough to counteract the shiny on the top.
I don't know that John Calvin would approve of that.
All right. Let's get to question 18. This is an easy one. So we're going to let Aaron answer the whole. What is sin? And the answer is, sin is transgression of the revealed will of God, which teaches that we are to act in perfect holiness from a heart of faith to the glory of God. All you, Aaron.
Aaron, go.
Come on, new guy.
Repeat the question.
What is sin?
Well, the textbook answer, is the textbook answer, but anything not done in faith, you know, is sin, and that could be expounded upon, but I know we have some scripture references we're going to go to. What is the first scripture reference?
Did you see that Baal?
I did.
That was pretty good.
He
didn't even offer to read it. He just threw it off to somebody else. Here we go. I'll give it to you.
Off the side of the boat.
1 John 3:4. Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness.
Ah, so sin has to do with the law.
No. How's that?
I don't know what you were just listening to. Did you have your headphones on?
You know what? Let's go around that a little bit. Let's open that up. Pete, would you read like 1 John 3:2 through like 8 to kind of open that up for the listeners?
Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You who know that he appeared in order to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous as he is righteous. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. I think that's far enough.
That's beautiful. Because that just shows you right there how it is your heart, and not, you don't go by the feelings of your heart, but what's your intent, your faith, you're living on faith, through faith.
Living on a prayer?
Yeah, that was an all right song.
Literally.
In the air.
Not in that context, though.
No.
I feel like Brandon would have made that reference.
Yeah, he might have.
He probably would have, yeah.
I love it. You know, I like how in here it deals with that issue of, that sinless perfection, even. Because he doesn't say whoever, it's like that one single sin. He clarifies that whoever makes a practice of sinning.
Right, your lifestyle consistent
exactly.
Way about you.
And it's not, you know, it's not you, like, figuring out, okay, let me make sure that my sin and my righteousness and unrighteousness balance each other out. That's
right.
Not what he's saying.
Am I doing more good than
this
evil?
This is not the Egyptian, you know, the feather. Does my sin weigh more than a feather thing?
Right, right.
Well, if he didn't clarify with that, who continues in the practice of sin, then, you'd be, with that one statement before, whoever goes on sinning, the Lord is not with him. I mean, you'd be in a place where you're doubting your salvation constantly, because we cannot stop sinning. I mean, we go in a different direction. We turn from our sin. We kill sin daily.
Yeah.
But we're
continually
still
repenting.
We're continually repenting.
Pick up your cross
but
daily.
That leads to a thought of what I thought of was point I'm trying to make here, is that you could lose your salvation, or that you never had it to begin with, and what kind of fear, you know, a person could live with that.
And on the flip side of that, it has the other side. You know, if you're practicing unrighteousness, and you say you're a Christian, what should you should be examining yourself to see if you are in the faith. There is that admonition.
And
also.
And as a whole, 1 John is amazing for that. It's a great apologetic to test your life against. It has all those if we say's and if we do's and
how is the what's the reality of your life? Are you serving God? Are you glorifying God? Or are you skimming it and just acting
what is your
Christian
heart?
With the quotes around it?
Behavior modification. Are you just forcing yourself to act this way, or is your heart really here?
Right.
Do you really love the brothers? Are you really chasing the image of God, you know?
Yeah. Have you stopped cursing so now you're a Christian? You know what I mean? What we were talking about off air about, you know, if somebody tries to stop to swearing and that will make them feel like they have.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I did it. I checked the box.
Well,
exactly.
I was listening to Brandon preaching some of the revelation before we came here. You cannot bribe God. And what I mean by that, and what I believe Brandon was saying by that, is that you cannot, you know, just say, oh, I'm going to, if you're here today and you've heard this message, you know, in a church sermon, that you think that, oh, I need to start cleaning up my life. I need to start going to church and reading my Bible and watching my mouth and those kinds of things that you're trying to do when Christ says it's done. You know, trust in Him, repent of your sins, and trust in Him, and follow after Me. You can't do things to give yourself a clear conscience. Well, the Holy Spirit's the only one that gives that clear conscience.
You know, it's so fun, and it's not funny. But when you said that you try to bargain with God, and when you first are starting to, you know, think about it, or God's opening somebody's eyes to it, at least for me, it was like, okay, well, like Pete was saying, I did this good thing, so I am planning on doing that bad thing, and then I'll just repent of it tomorrow morning. That, you know, like Brandon says, sin is like temporary insanity. But that's exactly how, you know, most of us live prior to salvation. It was just like, hey, you know, yeah, it might not be right, but I'm going to slide it by because I did these three good deeds.
You're talking about people that are planning sin. Like, I know a lot of people, you know, are, so we get the word lawless here, antinomia.
Right.
Right, antinomia.
Where's lawless. Your Greek word of the day?
That's it. That's okay. Antinomia. That's our Greek word. It means lawless. That's our Greek word. And when someone lives lawlessly, they are an antinomian. A lot of people, they believe themselves Christian, and then they live a lifestyle that is counterproductive to Christianity. You are not a Christian when you are living certain ways. If you are living in sexual immorality, you have a living girlfriend, boyfriend, you're not a Christian. First Thessalonians tells us that. If you are living this way, you are not a Christian. Your heart is chasing sin. You're not seeking God. So this verse reminds me of Matthew 7:21-23, where he talks about judgment day. And on that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not perform miracles and cast out demons? And I will say to them, be gone from me, you practice lawlessness, for I never knew you. So as much as we want to practice the law, you know, the law of freedom that we have, the moral law, love God, love neighbor, we still have to seek to know God. If we don't know him, it doesn't matter how well we follow the law.
Right.
But if we know him, we follow the law joyfully because we know him and we see the freedom in that. We grow in him. And
yeah. I mean, the freedom living in Christ is absolutely amazing. Of course, outside of it, you're thinking, oh, Christians have no fun. Their life is directed in every way. But the fact of the matter is that if you're living for Christ, you know, he is the creator of everything. He has given you everything that you need. And we are at most happy when we are serving him.
What people fail to realize is everybody's a slave to something.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
You're either a slave to sin or you're a slave to Christ. And, you know, it seems counterintuitive to say that now that I'm a slave to Christ, I'm freer than I've ever been before. You know, the world doesn't understand that. But a true Christian says amen and amen.
That's right.
You know, because I've never been more free than I am today.
And I remember,
I'm actually free to say no to sin.
Right. Yeah,
I actually have the power to say no one before.
That's a concept that a lot of Christians don't understand. It's never been taught to them.
Right.
That they have the no, you're not. It's not. Yes, it's slave to God. You know, doulos. You know, servant, slave. You know, the John MacArthur loves to preach his whole career. But that idea of it's the slave who has decided not that he loves his master, and he acts out of love for his master, and that he's not bound anymore. We're not bound anymore to that sin. We're bound to Christ,
mm-hmm.
and that the freedom that we have. I love how you said that, Aaron. That just that freedom that we have to not sin. You know, that we can turn to him. There's nothing like that freedom. And a lot of Christians don't understand that. And that's something that is lacking in the preaching from the pulpit today, I believe. I think we do a pretty good job of it here. So, I would encourage people to try to listen to some of Brandon's sermons. They're pretty good.
Absolutely. Because, you know, there is a void of good, solid biblical preaching. Especially in America right now, it's pitiful in a lot of cases.
False churches.
Yes.
I mean, just because they say church on the side of it, just because it's got a cross or it says Baptist or Methodist or this, it does not mean it's a church.
And we have some. I would say we have some good churches around here, but we have some not so good churches either. I mean, there's what, somebody help me out. Is it 67 churches in the Greater Lake City area? Not including the county, just in the Lake City.
Yeah, there's.
You know what? You're probably pretty much right on right there.
There's a whole lot for people to choose from, you know. But I tell you what, I pass a lot of churches to get to this one because I know the word of God is being thundered from the pulpit with all power and authority, and there's nothing quite like expository preaching. And once you get exposed to that, there's no going back to any fluffy.
Topical,
feel good, this is how you make your life better type message. I mean, only a reformed person, we were talking about this the other day, only a reformed person could be like, man, that sermon really He really got me there.
I'm so convicted.
I feel awful. That was a great sermon.
Yeah. Man, I am terrible. I see how awful I am. I feel great.
You know what? And the thing is,
and how great Christ is.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. I
bring me low so it lifts him up.
Yep. Right. Yep. Well, and then you know where you stand and what things that you need to really focus on, because you know nobody has a perfect life here. Mm-mm. So it's not your best life now, guys.
Oh man. What's our next scripture?
And we're going to throw that to. All right, we'll let John do it. Romans 5:13.
Our favorite scripture.
Yeah.
They are afraid of this scripture. That's why they're throwing it to me. For sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law. All right, so we talked about this scripture, and in context, what's happening is even when there is no law, between Adam, who was given a clear command, do not eat of the tree, and between Moses, where the law was given, people are still dying because sin is still present. Whether there's no law, whether there's a law to show it, sin still exists. And this was happening in this text.
Because it's written where?
On our hearts, sir.
Perfect. Perfect.
That's right. Romans 1. Creation is enough to prove God, and the law is wrote on our hearts. Yeah. I always just say 18 to 24.
All of Romans, just go with it.
I mean, I'm just sitting here looking at Romans 5, the whole chapter, you know, results of justification. What a glorious chapter. Well, I mean, my favorite verse is in Romans 5. I mean, Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I mean, what a glorious thought that truth is.
Just think about that. I mean, a lot of times we have trouble even giving grace to people that have, you know, irritated us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But we were actively just rebelling, sinning, cursing, and he still, you know, stepped down off his throne and saved us.
Yeah, and we're called to do the exact same thing. I mean, that's your point, is that, you know, we're called to have the same grace, the same love, the same forgiveness, same patience, the same kindness that God showed toward us, we show to unbelievers and to Christians. I mean, especially that's something I think that's missed out on is lots of times, you know, we're taught that the things we do as Christians, you know, are towards unbelievers and this, that, and the other. But what you do to those in your local church really is what you're going to be held to a higher accountability on. You're to serve your local church specifically.
That's right.
Believers.
And what a lot of people don't understand is yes, we are called to love everybody, Christians and non-Christians alike, but we don't love them in the same way. There is a clear difference between how we treat the brothers and sisters in the faith and how we love those of the world,
right?
And a lot of people just are unaware of that.
And I don't think that that's you're talking about a level of love, but
Well, hold it. This is the thing. These people are going to be with you through eternity.
Yeah,
they're your brothers and sisters through all eternity. Whether it's somebody that you never met before you went to that congregation, or if it's your mother, or if it's your wife, or if it's your child, they're going to be your brothers and sisters throughout all eternity.
Right. I don't think it's a level of love, like the amount of love we put towards anyone, but it is how we love them. With the brothers and sisters, again, it's what we're doing with them is
community. It's absurd to think that there is no difference, because I love my wife in a different way than I love my children. I love my children in a different way than I love, you know, and so on and so on.
Right.
There's always that difference. And so when, you know, even Jesus, we talked about this last week or a couple weeks ago where, you know, the people come to he's in the house and the people come and say, hey, your brother and your mother are here.
Who's my brother and my mother?
I can go to the other side of the world. and go meet Christians who I can't even speak their language.
Right.
And there's something between us.
There's that kinship,
right.
That
because we have the same spirit.
Right. One spirit.
There's a love between us that does not exist in any other context.
Right. Yeah. You said, who is it? Said kinship? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Perfect example. All right, let's go on to Romans 14:23. But whoever has doubts is condemned if he eats, because the eating is not from faith. For whoever does not whatever does not proceed from faith is sin. And we've already talked about that.
This needs to be qualified, though, and expounded upon, because you can't take this to the grave like, oh, I'm gonna get drunk in faith. You know, I'm gonna, you know.
You know what though? There,
podcast is that where you're going?
But there are
things that
people that do that though.
Right.
There are people that sin, calling it faith, and they're fine because
and grace.
Doing
what
it
grace will abound?
Right.
Grace will abound.
More of that grace.
Yeah.
They forget that other part.
They forget that other part. Right. God forbid.
God forbid. Yeah.
Like, oh man.
So this doesn't mean, I mean, it's got a deeper meaning than what it just means on the surface. You can't just take the words. It means what it means, period. But
well,
you can't just take it superficially.
It needs to be put in context. And also, you know, and what do you say? But whoever has doubts is condemned if he eats. Because, you know, think about who he's talking to.
Right.
You know, the context of the letter. He's dealing with guys who come from Jewish background who were like, we're not supposed to be eating this stuff. And he's like, if you have doubts, do it in faith and you're fine. You can eat this. God has made it clean. You can eat it. You're good. But this can be applied to a lot of things. It just can't be applied to sin. Like, it can never be applied to sin.
Right.
Absolutely. And the highest law is love here. So if in your freedom, if you are flaunting it in the face of your brother who has a problem with it,
right.
You are not loving him.
That's right.
You know what? Yeah. Back up and do you have your this verse up?
I was
where was it? I got my Bible.
I was talking about
14:20. Go 14:20 through 23 so that they'll understand what Pete was talking about. How this is mainly about the mature Christian and also dealing with the ones that are struggling.
Well, I'm going to read 13 on.
Okay.
I wish I could read all of chapter 14, but I don't know if we have enough time left for that. It says, therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather determine this, not to put an obstacle or stumbling block in a brother's way. I know I am convinced in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean in itself, but to him who thinks anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. For it is because food your brother is hurt. For if because of food your brother is hurt, you are no longer walking according to love. Do not destroy with your food him for whom Christ died. Therefore, do not let what is for you a good thing be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who is this way serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men. So then, we pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another. Do not tear down the work of God for the sake of food. All things indeed are clean, but they are evil for the man who eats and gives offense. It is not good. It is good not to eat meat or to drink wine or to do anything by which your brother stumbles. The faith which you have as your own conviction before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves, but he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because his eating is not from faith, and whatever is not from faith is sin.
Well put.
Well, that's because God put it.
Thank you, Paul.
Yeah. Inspired by the Holy Spirit.
Way to go, Paul.
My we have our nephews, right, and they're staying with us, and yesterday or the day before, we had just done Bible study. And
there's a lot of kids that run around your house, man.
Yeah. No, we my six, and then we got seven others under there. And so there's just always kids. And we had just done Bible study, and then I hear them arguing about something on the other end of the house. So I'm like, what is going on? And the nephew is like, this show has voodoo on it. It's some kid's cartoon, you know, one of those, like, Monster High or something, and it's the kids of, like, the famous monsters from movies. And,
oh, yeah.
And
Descendants.
And so my daughter's like, it doesn't matter if you know it's not real. She's arguing for, you know, understanding that it's fake. And he's like, yeah, but it's voodoo. We can't. I'm like, look, all right, you need to apply some grace to the weaker brethren. You need to not push your law on her and start maturing, but you need to actually apply grace to him, and if it offends him, you need to not be doing it. And, like, trying to work this thing out between them. And then they chilled out, and then they watched the cartoon.
So you didn't just walk in the room and tell
and
them
like,
to be quiet.
And they're like six and four, right? Those are like...
You actually explained to them.
No, we're dealing with 7 and 10.
7 and 10.
Yeah. So, and it's the 7-year-old that's like, that's actually dealing in more maturity. She's like, yeah, but it's not real. This is, Jesus is God. Like, we're fine with this. It's just a cartoon. Calm down. First Peter.
Oh, 1 Peter 1:15.
All right, Cephas.
Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy.
Oh, that's simple.
Do that daily, don't you?
Oh, yeah. It's just like doing a bench press. It just happens to be 2,500 pounds you're trying to bench press.
Right.
The mechanics are easy.
Just wait a minute. You can't be holy?
So.
Not without the Holy Spirit. Like we just have been discussing, I mean, we are in our flesh. We still sin and we repent and we are grieved by it. But praise be to God, on that great and final day, if you are a Christian today, you're going to be found in Christ, and his perfect righteousness is applied to you. His blood covers a sin. So, yes, I can say yes, I can be perfectly holy only because of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Right.
In Christ. Perfect.
All right. And Jesus was the answer there, guys.
Sunday school answer.
Jesus.
He went with the easy answer.
Yeah. All right. Matthew 5:48. Actually, John, could you do 5:43 to 48?
Come on, Matthew. Do Matthew.
Okay.
Pete just did Pete.
I'll do Matthew. All right. As we were saying, we're all New Testament. You're just Old Testament.
Yeah. Great High Priest Aaron.
Yeah. You know.
First.
Well, I wrote the first. No. Anyway.
There's just that one story with him down at the mountain making the golden calf and all. But I digress. Matthew, please continue.
Also try to throw Moses under the bus, but, you know.
Right. These evil people made me do it.
All
right.
Matthew 5:48. All right. You therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. But actually, let's back up to 5:43.
Yeah, I was just reading that.
Yeah. It's very similar. All right, and of course, this is Christ speaking. You've heard it was said, you shall love your neighbors and hate your enemies. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes the sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? If you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than the others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Therefore, you therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. What do you think, Pete?
Well, and today you hear it and you see it a lot. People who'd say, you know, I don't have time for that kind of person. You get the, you know, who are like anti-negativity. You know, I don't have time for that person in my life.
I got good vibes going on here.
Yeah,
so don't get in my positive vibes.
That's what, exactly. That's what, yeah. I hate okay, that. But as you know, as the Christian, we don't have that haven.
No.
No. God reached down from heaven and saved us.
Yeah.
So we don't get.
We have a lot of negative vibes going on there.
We don't get to sit back and, you know, say, you know, only positive people around me. You know, we are told, you know, the Gentiles do the same. the tax collectors, Jesus is telling them. So we don't have that out. We are to be intimately involved with the in the context that God has put us, where he's put us, in the community that he's put us, and we are to engage, no matter how painful it might be. We are to engage. I mean, think about, you know, Jesus, who left the perfect harmony of heaven to come down in the flesh and be with us.
Wretched ones that we are.
I know. That's, that just amazes me. That
it had to be awful. Like, just being around us like that, just full of sin.
But he loved us.
That's the whole thing, is that he loved us enough to do that. All right, so question 18, what is sin? And the answer is, sin is the transgression of the revealed will of God, which teaches that we are to act in perfect holiness from a heart of faith to the glory of God. And you've been listening to Synesis Radio. This is Matthew Graham, joined by Pete Collins, John Cadotta, and Aaron Jenkins. Thank you for listening. Have a great day.